Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle.
I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
I don't know whether to be happy, sad, perplexed, inquisitive. I'm not really sure what adjective I've decided I want to be today, other than the fact that we do welcome you into Patriots Playbook for a Tuesday, and we've got 2 weeks left to go in the regular season, and this Patriots football team is 12-2, and yet, why do we always make the season a one-game referendum? That's really the question I want to ask today. Why do we do this? Is it just our nature as fans? Is it just our nature as Patriots fans? Is it just our nature as New Englanders? You know, the entire season is a one-game referendum. I heard this morning on a couple of different talk shows, on a couple of my friends' Facebook pages, I'm sure that it's out there in blogs already how, oh, this Patriots team, if they play like they did on, you know, Sunday night, that there's no way they can have any success in the playoffs. Well, duh. I mean, come on. Did we forget 36-7 over Chicago? Did we forget 45-3 over New York? You know, why does every game we play have to be a one-week referendum on the present and the future? And that's a serious question that I have for you today. Why do we do this? Why do we do this? What, in your opinion, why do we make every single game a one-week referendum? I put as my status today on Facebook, no one is perfect. No team is perfect. Patience, gratitude, loyalty are required for a successful relationship. And you know what? Forget the fact that we're talking about a sports team and, you know, and sports at all. That's really what it takes in life, does it not? Personal relationships, things like that. I mean, patience, gratitude, loyalty. What else do you need? I think those three things pretty much cover it. Now, I do know that today is Nitpick Tuesday, and yes, there are plenty of nits to pick on the Patriots. Webradio@patriots.com, the email address, the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. And you can hit me up on Facebook as well. I already had a couple as well, but if you want to and you have not joined, then just search for me, John Rook, R-O-O-K-E is the last name. Submit the friend request. We'll answer that to the affirmative, and then you can post, or you may chat during the show, which I have the page open during the show, and so sometimes it's easy while you're working just to leave the chat function open, and you listen, and it pops into your mind, and you can just hit the chat button and go. It's a great thing to do, easy to do, and I've got a lot of people that do it, and I'm very grateful for that. So if you have your nitpicks, fire off. I've got a few that I will share from you, but in the last couple of weeks, even though we haven't had a whole heck of a lot of nits to pick, so to speak, we've managed to come up with our fair share. Undoubtedly, we're going to come up with our fair share today. But I have to ask you, I mean, why do we make every game a referendum on the entire season? I mean, I certainly believe this team needs some improvement. I think we saw Sunday night Green Bay, for the most part, outplay the Patriots. I don't think that's a stretch. I think most Patriots fans, knowledgeable Patriots fans, which I know all of you are, can look at that game and say, you know what? They're really lucky to have won that game. I will argue that in any championship season, pick a sport, pick somebody, pick anything. But in any championship caliber season, you've got a game or two depending on the length of the season and how many games you play. You might even have several games that you win because you just got sunshine blowing right up your you-know-what. You're living a charmed life. And I do believe the Patriots have that going for them this year. They have karma, for lack of a better phrase. They've got the karma. That's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Doesn't mean, you know, you're going to win because you have it. Doesn't mean you're going to lose because you don't have it. But they have that certain je ne sais quoi going on about them right now, and that's a good thing. And they manage good teams, and you hear this a lot. You hear this a lot, and it's true. Good teams find a way to win bad games. This is what the Patriots did on Sunday. They're still a good team. They're not a great team, and I think we can all admit that. The offense is closer to being great than the defense. The offense is not great like the 07 offense was, and even then, the 07 offense, well, we all know what happened in the Super Bowl. The Giants found a way to make a great offense merely pedestrian. The Packers deserve a lot of credit for Sunday night. They had a lot of credit. I thought they hit well. I thought they attacked well. I thought their pass rush was outstanding. B.J. Raji, oh, my God. I have nightmares of number 90 barreling down on me in my sleep, and I'm not even the quarterback. Seemed like every other play he was disrupting something in the offensive backfield on Sunday. Go BC Eagles. What else can I say about that, right? Right, Kev?
He's
a big BC fan. He looked great. He ever looked like that at Boston College? No.
No. He's a pretty good player at BC, but yes, nothing like that.
Very good player. Very good player at BC.
Looks a heck of a lot better than Ron Brace does, I'll tell you that much.
I got to tell you, yeah, sure, I was going to say that too. Looks like we got the tail end of that one. Again, I'm going to leave the jury still out on Ron. So
BJ was like a top five pick, Brace was, what, early second round? Yeah. So you can't really compare him that much.
No, but you know, they're different players.
But I definitely think Brace benefited from playing next to BJ Raji in college.
No question. No question. You know, I dare I say that had Green Bay been completely healthy, I don't think just Aaron Rodgers would have made the difference. Because I thought quarterback Matt
Flynn.
Thank you. I wanted to say Lynch, and I'm like, why am I saying Lynch? It's Flynn. Flynn. You dope. Matt
like
Flynn.
Finn.
Yes. I thought Matt Flynn played a brilliant game. I thought that Mike McCarthy game planned beautifully. I thought they had it all. They did basically what you need to do. If you really want to take, you know, how you, you know, personally, I don't believe there is a quote unquote blueprint to beating anybody, because I think we as fans tend to overgeneralize things. And I think maybe that's why, you know, part of the reason, and I may be answering my own question here that I just asked, but I think it's part of the reason why we take every game as an individual referendum on the entire season, because we just have a tendency to compartmentalize and overgeneralize. It's what we do. We like to make things nice, neat packages. We like to tie a nice little neat bow over this sack of crap that's, you know, falling all over itself. And we're trying to pull it all together. And so I thought that, you know, they did some things Sunday night that teams have to do. Doesn't mean that, let's say, Baltimore comes here and does exactly and follows exactly Green Bay's game plan. Doesn't mean Baltimore's going to win. Because it worked for Baltimore. I mean, it worked for Green Bay. It may not necessarily work for Baltimore. And, of course, we all know that teams don't have the same persona. They don't have the same personalities. Some teams can't do what Green Bay did. I thought Green Bay was incredibly patient. I thought they brought great pressure up the middle, not necessarily on the end, but up the middle. I thought that their linebackers, while I know a lot of people said, well, where was Clay Matthews? Clay Matthews had a horrible game. No, I don't really think he did. Because I think Clay Matthews did exactly what they asked him to do. I think they wanted Clay Matthews to make sure that Patriots receivers were hit hard at the line. They felt, I think, confident enough with his athleticism where he could help in that situation. I don't believe that the Packers thought that Ben Jarvis Green Ellis or Danny Woodhead would beat them. And I said, and I'm basically thinking that, okay, we're leaving the middle of the defense open. It's up to the Patriots to find the opening. And that's exactly what I thought they did. I thought they left, you know, largely the middle of the defense open. Well, the Patriots were able to take advantage of that a little bit. But the other thing that Green Bay did that kept the Patriots from running up the score anymore was the fact that they played keep away.
Yeah. I think the Packers had the ball for almost 40 minutes. Yeah.
Almost 41 minutes.
Yeah.
It was 40 minutes plus to 19 minutes plus in time of possession. That's how you beat the Patriots. You keep the damn ball out of Tom Brady's hands.
Yep, I couldn't agree more.
And when you add that...
Well, you had to take into consideration, too, like, look at the onside kick to start the game. Do you do that with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback? I'm not so sure.
Well, I almost think that sometimes it's sort of cliche here.
Yeah.
But when you onside kick to start a game, it's like you're raising the white flag.
Yeah.
Now,
well, you know that you need a series of things to go right.
For you to have a chance to win the game.
Yes.
Well, but it damn near did.
Yeah.
Okay? So you're right. That's almost like, okay, we're waving the flag here.
Because if you don't get that kick, you give the Patriots the ball on your 40-yard line.
And then it's all over.
Good night, Nancy.
That's exactly right. So you're taking a big gamble from the very first play of the game.
And I applaud that in a way because they had to – they tried to
they
do
knew
everything
they needed. They knew they needed help to win.
Yeah, and they knew that they needed to win to try to have any hope of making the playoffs.
Correct.
And they were a desperate team.
Correct.
And I think they
desperate teams.
They played more desperately than the Patriots did.
Absolutely.
Sunday.
Absolutely.
But
they played with an edge that the Patriots couldn't possibly have had.
But that's a testament to, like, everybody's down and upset that they didn't win by more. But it's a testament to the Patriots to – take the blows, take the onside kick from a team
What did I just say?
That's not that bad.
Sometimes you have to win playing ugly. The mark of a good team is overcoming all odds and still having more points than the other guy at the end of the day. And that's what the Patriots have.
And they bucked up and made the few little key plays that they had to make at times to win the game.
Correct.
And that's usually what it – you know, here's a funny little side note. So I'm walking off the field, and Kevin Faulk is walking next to me off the field. And he looked at me and he goes, "That's an old school win right there." He goes, "That takes me back 5 or 6 years. That's how we used to win games."
Oh, good story.
Like, that's an interesting little thought right there.
Good story. Got any more stories? I love stories.
Well, that just hit me because I hadn't really the game. It just ends on the final play of the game. Not many games come down to the final play.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of processing the information, and for him to kind of say that kind of like hit me in the head a little bit, like, oh, he's right.
Sure.
You know, that brings me back to 03, 04, even 01 when they used to, you know, cling on for dear life and just make those key plays at the end of the game to get it done.
No question. No question. Patriots made the plays they had to. They move on to the next one. Now, if this were in the playoffs, that's exactly what we'd be saying. Why are we not saying it now? Why are so many people upset over the way the Patriots played when if this were the postseason, we'd be saying on to next week. Survive in advance, on to next week. Why are we not already in survive in advance mode?
I think it's because we're all upset that we were wrong in the prediction of how the game would go.
Probably.
Because I think most people thought this would be a 2 or 3 touchdown.
Sure. I heard most everybody said that.
I did.
Most everybody said that.
I did, especially when I heard Rodgers was out. I think my prediction was like 45-10. I was way off, but I'm just happy with the win.
Absolutely. I never thought 45-10. I don't even remember what I said. Do you remember what I said?
I don't remember.
I want to say I said something nuts, like 34-19 or something.
I think you said 34-17.
34-17?
Yeah, because I remember you making a comment about split it in half.
Oh,
like,
that's right.
Have double the points that the Packers would have.
Okay, that's right.
Well, but I mean,
I had a feeling walking down on the field before the game started, and I saw the Packers down on the field, and I have to admit, I'm like, you know what? They could be in for a battle.
Yeah.
And I couldn't put my finger on any one thing, but I'm like, you know, when I really looked at it, their backs are to the wall. They don't have their quarterback. They don't have their running back.
Everything's against them.
Everything's against them. Patriots had, you know, two, you know, like I like to say, fat and sassy wins behind them in the previous 2 weeks. I said, you know, the Packers are going to end up making this a game. And sure enough, when that onside kick came.
Yeah, when that happened, I realized we're going to get the kitchen
sink
thrown at us.
You'd better buckle up and at least give the Patriots some credit. This is where I will give the Patriots credit. Give them the credit that they did buckle up, and they managed to find a way to win a game that easily could have been a loss. And like I said, in playoff mode, we're saying, all right, survive in advance. Let's move on. Next. Who's got next? We should be saying that now. Now, granted, there are two games left in the regular season. Got to go to Buffalo this week. I know that, you know, it's been since, you know, the turn of the it's been since the turn of the century, almost. Since Buffalo has beaten the Patriots. I've said this already several times this year. I think I said it probably half a dozen times when the Patriots played the Bills before. I said, at some point in time, the streak's going to end. I'm not saying it should. I'm not saying it could. But I will reiterate it here and say that, you know, hey, at some point in time, Buffalo will win the game. Now, granted, the Patriots have plenty to play for this week. So, frankly, in hindsight, I'm grateful that the Jets beat the Steelers. I'm grateful. Because now this allows, if there was no focus, this allows at least a chance to make certain there's focus. Number one, you played like crap last week. You managed to win. So that's going to cause some focus right there. Number two, you have something to play for. Win, and you've got home field advantage through the playoffs with 1 week to go. And then you can rest whoever you want, which you know will happen. I know the NFL was hoping that that wouldn't happen this year by having divisional games, but it just so happens they scheduled the wrong opponent at the end of the year. And I'm sure Miami would be very happy to take that W, if that's what they get here in Foxborough. I'm sure they'd be very happy to take that W, because it could end up causing Tony Sperano to keep his job. So I'm sure they'd be happy to take it in a meaningless game. We want January the 2nd to be a meaningless game. You know, you should treat this game like you treat maybe the last preseason game. Play the starters a couple of weeks, a couple of series, first quarter, maybe into the second quarter, then sit. Brian Hoyer goes the rest of the way. Danny Woodhead goes at running back. Or maybe you let Sammy Morris, or maybe you let Fred Taylor in there to get some, you know, some game shape back in there. You let, you know, Brandon Tate go. You let the young tight ends go. You know, play some of your backups in the offensive line. Give all the youngins a chance to play. Your special teamers who get some time regularly on defense and in the O-line that where they go. And that's what you do. You play it like you'd play the last preseason game, if it means nothing. But it's going to mean something now if you don't take care of business this week. Because if you lose this week, then you've got home field advantage on the line for the very last game, and then you got to put it all on the line. Because you've gone way too far now, and you've worked way too hard at 12-2, the overall best record in the league, tied with Atlanta. You have worked way too hard to let home field advantage slip away now.
But also, the if the Jets lose next week, it doesn't matter anyway. I know you don't want to look at it like that.
No. You never want to back into
something.
You don't
want to back in.
You don't. I realize that the Jets lose.
It's just another
way
for them to get it.
Hey, let's face
it.
Look, did you watch the Green Bay-Chicago game last night? Any of it at all? Just to see
the
cold? And I mean, the Minnesota-Chicago game. Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched just because I knew it was the first.
Chicago looked pretty good.
It was the first outdoor game in 29 years in Minnesota. I remember the last one in 1981. So I definitely want to do that. But Chicago looked good last night, kids. They looked that looked like the team I thought that we would get in Chicago, and the Patriots just, you know, basically overwhelmed them. They sucker punched them from the get-go. Chicago could do that to the Jets, but let me assure you that the Jets will be playing with plenty of piss and vinegar.
13-3 pointer, tying.
What was that?
That was me.
Oh. Okay.
My bad.
Never mind.
I was trying to see what time that game was in comparison. I was wondering if it was a 4:15 game next week.
Which one? The Jets game?
The Jets game. I'm assuming it is.
Okay. Might be. You know, I think that the Jets will have their hands full with Chicago.
It's a 1 o'clock game.
Is it
just
a 1?
Like us, so we'll both be
up
playing
against
at the same
it.
Time.
All right. Well, then there you go.
So the Patriots won't know what they need to do. So
nope.
That's probably better
I
off.
I think
even.
It's better for the focus.
Just go out and
have
take
blinders
care of your
on
business.
And take care of business. You won't know if the Jets are losing. You won't know if the Buffalo game is meaningless.
Yeah, and for those of you at home, both games are on CBS, so unless you have Red Zone or some sort of NFL ticket,
you'll
package,
be watching
you won't
be this
able to,
one here.
Yeah, you won't get the Jets game.
Unless, of course, you're in New York. If you're in New York, then you'd get the Jets game over the Patriots game. You're in the Jets, you know, home market. It'd be the only way that you'd get the Jets game, but I don't know why you'd want that necessarily. Yeah, if you've got NFL Red Zone, you're all set.
Yeah, I'm lucky enough to have it, and it's a great tool for a football fan.
Sunday ticket.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
I mean, if you go to your favorite, you know, night spot, if you don't have Sunday ticket
at
home.
Yeah, if you have a little pub or something like
that.
A
little pub you go to, you can get Sunday ticket there, which is what I usually do in that instance. I may have to go do that this weekend. I realize that it's, you know, the day after Christmas, but I'm sure that people will be looking for a reason to, you know, get out and do stuff. So
yeah.
That may be worthwhile doing, trying to find a spot that you can watch both of those games this weekend.
You need to get away from all the family that's driving you crazy.
It's already started in my household. So, you know, okay, that's all right. You got something now that you can focus on. So that's good. So that's taking care of, you know, the first thing right there. But I'm also hoping, and again, I'm hoping that I can get, you know, someone to chime in on this one here about why we insist upon making every single game a referendum on the entire season. Love to hear your opinions. Webradio at patriots.com. 508-543-7482. Facebook. Go. We don't. It's just 1/16 of the season. You need to take all 16 of these parts, put them all together, mix them up, pour it into a bowl, and see what rises to the top and what settles to the bottom. That's really what you got to do. And so that's kind of what we try to do here each and every week on this show. You know, that's why we nitpick every Tuesday, win or lose. We nitpick. Why? Because we're separating the wheat from the chaff. You ever had chaff, by the way? Ever had wheat chaff? No, okay. Separate wheat from the chaff. We separate the cream from the curd from the cream. We say, you know, the water from the vinegar, you know, or the oil from the vinegar. We separate everything. This is what we do on this show. We try to compartmentalize. And I realize that does kind of lead us down that road that I just talked about. Why does every game have to be an individual referendum on the season? Well, because there's 16 little parts to it, is the best I can tell you. And so we try to take the overall look at things. And we kind of get swayed by public sentiment. And we get swayed by, you know, the guys who from PFW who, God bless them, they're so close to the forest sometimes they can't see the trees. And I think you know exactly what I'm talking about here.
It's a good way of putting it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you come to us for a reason, because guys here cover the team day in and day out, and that's why you're here, and we're appreciative of that. And I think, you know, I would put, you know, Paul and Fred and Andy and Eric, and I put their knowledge on the team and the fact that I've been with this franchise now for 18 years myself and covered it for 23 years myself. I'd put our knowledge, our collective knowledge up on this team up against anybody's. Knowing what we know about this team and the way this franchise operates over the years, the history, the players, the personalities, all of the above. So that's why we're glad you're with us. However, sometimes you got to take a step back. And when they're doing their picks and everybody accuses Fred of being a rah-rah guy and he always picks the Patriots, what have you, that he's a homer. Well, okay, maybe. But I would argue that sometimes being a homer, and I use that phrase with big quotation marks around it, I would argue that being a homer sometimes is not necessarily a bad thing. I would also tell you that sometimes a homer is not the fault directly of the person who's the homer. Like I said, sometimes you're so close to the forest you can't possibly see the trees. So you don't know how to react. And when public sentiment, when you send your emails in and you can bombard us all with emails that say, oh, the Patriots are going to win easy, what do you think human nature is going to do? Human nature is going to make you think, oh, maybe they're right. Because we all here try to consider your thoughts, every one of us. We read your emails. We consider what you have to say. We may laugh about it on the show. Andy may laugh about it away from the show. But we read them. Your opinion is not necessarily any better than theirs. Their opinion is not necessarily any better than yours. That's what I love about this particular show, because I really feel like you are the knowledgeable fans. You're not the bandwagoners. You're the knowledgeable fans. We have good discourse here. Because we nitpick things when the team is 12 and flipping 2. We see this.
When none of us expected
that. Exactly. And none of us expected it. I mean, there's a part of me that says, we're 12 and 2. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
But we do it because we're fans. We recognize excellence. We recognize mediocrity. And we recognize lousiness.
It's kind of funny, too, because it didn't really hit me. What the Patriots are doing didn't hit me until after the Chicago game. And I remember just, you know, trying to fall asleep that night on Sunday, and just I rolled over and was just like, wow.
Right.
This is a pretty good football team right here that nobody gave any credit to start the season.
No question.
And now I think it's all hitting us like, wow, like a ton of bricks after the Jets game and after the Chicago game. And then when you have a game like this, I guess it's human nature to kind of second guess, you know, that epiphany that we all had that, you know, this team could go to the Super Bowl.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know. Like, it is a character win for these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's better to have a letdown in a win than what happened in Cleveland.
Right. I agree. Hey, look, if you're gonna suck, it's better to suck and win than better to suck and lose. And that's exactly what happened in Cleveland. They sucked and they lost.
I was telling my dad, he was, you know, on the phone nitpicking to me minutes after this game almost.
Does he listen to the show?
He does listen. He just started.
I love it.
And
thank you, Mr. Collins.
I basically just told him, I was like, listen, don't you sleep better after a crummy win than after a loss?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Now, I think we all agree that we sleep best when the team crushes Chicago and New York.
Oh, yeah.
But, I woke up Monday morning.
It's easier.
The first thing I thought was, wow, at least we won.
Yeah, it's easier. It makes your week start easier.
No question.
And, you know, regardless, you and I were going to sleep no matter what, because by the time we got home Sunday night, we were dead anyway after the day that we go through
long
together.
Day. Long day.
But, I mean, it just makes your – and it makes the week easier. You know, everybody's a little bit more upbeat, even though the coach was pretty critical of the players, even though the players were critical of themselves. It doesn't matter how they get it done. If they win, everything's more pleasant to deal with in this building.
Correct. 110% correct. No doubt about it. Well, anyway, so there you go. That gives you some food for thought to start the day off with. Webradio@patriots.com. What are your nitpicks from the game on Sunday? There are plenty we can get into. And I do want to ask you today, why do we treat every single game as an individual referendum on the season? What are your thoughts on that? I may have already answered the question 40 and talking about it out loud here, but if you have your opinion on that, I would really love to hear it today. Why do we do that? Why do we beat ourselves up over it? The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Facebook. A couple of answers already on Facebook. A couple of chats up, a couple of posts up. And you're certainly welcome to do that. And we're going to jump right in. Head first. Coming up right here in the playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Get ready for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You could win an all-inclusive weekend trip to Super Bowl 45. You're already halfway there. Just enter for your chance to win right here at Patriots.com. Simply click on the Verizon logo to play the Gridiron Challenge. It's that easy. And you could win weekly prizes, including Patriots tickets, autographed merchandise, and more. Start playing today. Brought to you by Verizon. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Must be a legal U.S. resident 18 years or older. Ends December 27, 2010. Void where prohibited. For official rules, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge.
Little Mannheim Steamroller?
Yeah,
they're really good, aren't they? Attaboy.
Little Christmas carols?
Like it. I like it. I love the Mannheim Steamroller, the Christmas album this time of year. This is the best stuff. See, now, couldn't you hear this in watching NFL films?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And you got the voice of John Fusen.
I think we used it in stadium on Sunday right before kickoff.
It's good. I like it. Highly encourage you don't have the album. I know they originally did their first Christmas album back in like 84. But it's good stuff at this time of year. Well, happy holidays, everybody. From all of us here at Patriots.com, Patriots.com Radio, Patriots Playbook. You know, this is hopefully a festive time of year for you, wherever you may be. And we hope that, you have a great holiday season. The fact that the Patriots are successful this year is kind of blown everybody away around here. So hopefully it's blown you away as well for toward the good. And we'll this will be good. All right, so let's a couple of things I want to kind of clean house on. First and foremost, in case you care, Patriots were still on top of the most of the power rankings this week. Noticed, even though you know the Patriots defense did suffer somewhat, but yeah, okay. For what it's worth, I know a lot of people pay attention to it, and so that's fine. So hopefully that'll make you feel a little bit better, and should also dispel any rumors quickly the Patriots aren't being respected. They are. They're respected. This is not like 07 or not like 03 or 04. Let's put it that way. The fact that the Patriots have staying power, that they've got longevity here, okay? That they've had a history of success. This has given them, they've finally earned that respect. So I think you're seeing that from members of the media. Even in a year in which they weren't expected to be where they are now at 12-2, this team is still getting respect. All right, let me clean up a couple of things. We talked about obviously last week the whole Sal Alossi deal and Roger Goodell. Commissioner Roger Goodell was here in Foxborough. I know many of you probably already know that before the game. He was here for the game on Sunday. Met with some season ticket holders. Met with some media members before the game, and he said, prior to the game on Sunday night, that the league is looking into the accusation that Mike Westhoff, who's the Jets special teams coach, that Westhoff made that the Patriots align players along the sideline to impede the gunner from the opposing punt team. Now, I tried to make a point to see that from my standpoint, from my viewpoint on Sunday. I really couldn't tell. I really don't know how far back behind the line the guys are. I don't know if anybody else saw that. I don't know if they even talked about it, to be honest with you, on the television coverage. If you were watching on TV, if you heard somebody say something, please share. The quote was, "It's something we're looking into, our staff has been looking into, and I expect to get a report within the next day or so." And that's the quote that he gave Shalise Manza-Young of the Boston Globe. and that punishment is possible if there's a, quote, violation of the policy. Now, the policy requires teams to make complaints about other teams to the league office and not to do it publicly. And our friends at PFT brought up this point that the Raiders were actually cautioned back in 2008 about this provision. And that the Patriots had tampered with Randy Moss before picking him up for a fourth-round pick. That's a violation of the policy. The Raiders were not punished. Not sure whether or not the Patriots or the Jets would be. But you're not supposed to do this publicly, Mike Westhoff, which is why you made our turd list on Turds Day last week. So I thought I'd bring that up to you, that the league office is looking into it. It's something that I suggested 1 week ago today, and I'm glad that they're looking into it, because you do need to kind of get to the bottom of that, because you don't want anything hanging over your head. You don't want to give anybody any excuses here. Leave the playing on the field. Get the other stuff out of there. It doesn't belong there. Now, this one also involves the Jets. We talked about this a while back, but you might recall that this is a story that's a couple of years ago. Seahawks fans pelted Sean Ellis, Jets defensive end, and other players, and then he picked up. Remember when he picked up the huge chunk of snow and he threw it back into the stands in Seattle? Well, he was fined $10,000 at the time for doing that, and now he's getting sued. This guy is a Seahawks season ticket holder. His name is Robert Larson. He's suing Ellis and the Jets. He's looking for damages for past and future medical expenses, past and future loss of earning, partial impairment of earnings and earning capacity, mental and physical pain and suffering. Wow. Ellis confirms that he's being sued, said he couldn't comment on it because it's a lawsuit. He says you just have to let the courts handle it and see what happens from there. So I don't think we'll be getting a whole lot out of Sean Ellis about that or maybe anything else for a while. You like that one? Oof. Yikes, huh? All right. And then one other thing that I wanted to bring up. The fact is that 12 playoff berths exist in the NFL. With 2 weeks left, only four have been clinched. Only three more playoff berths were clinched this last week. Patriots, of course, had it last week as the first team to clinch a playoff spot. And then after this past weekend, Steelers, Bears, and Falcons all clinched playoff spots. Nobody has a bye yet. But Steelers kind of backed their way into it with the loss. Eight playoff spots are still open in the final 2 weeks, which I know is music to the NFL's ears. All of the seeding issues are still up for grabs. So the latest then on the seeding issues are like this, based on a couple of sources that I've been able to pull it from here today. Number one, the Patriots clinch the AFC East officially, and they get the top seed in the conference. They get a win or a tie against Buffalo, or with a Jets loss or tie against the Bears, either way. Secondly, Steelers clinch the AFC North. They also will clinch a first-round bye if they beat Carolina, and the Ravens lose at Cleveland. Both those things have to happen. Next, Chiefs clinch the AFC West with a win and a Charger loss or tie, or a Chiefs tie and a Chargers loss. Next, the Ravens clinch a playoff spot. They have not clinched a spot yet. In the AFC right now, two teams are in, Patriots, Steelers. That's it so far with 2 weeks to go. The Ravens clinch a playoff spot with a win or a tie over Cleveland, or one of, I think there's like four other outcomes. They get a Chiefs loss or Jaguars loss, Chiefs loss, Colts loss, Charger loss, Jags loss, Charger lost, Colts loss. So, I mean, combinations there. My guess would be that the Ravens probably clinch a spot this week. Looks like from all of those scenarios, they can probably get in as long as they beat Cleveland. And then finally, the Jets. They can clinch a playoff spot with a win or a tie. I say tie because we have to. Technically, they can get in, but we all know, you know, we haven't had ties all that often. When's the last time we had a tie? 2002? Anyway, Jets get in with a win or a tie, or a Jags loss or tie, or a Colts loss or tie. So if the Jets lose in Chicago, well, then they haven't clinched anything, and there's no way they can clinch anything, and it'll go right down to week 17 before the Jets can clinch a spot, which is frankly what I think will happen. My prediction is they don't beat Chicago. I think Chicago's playing well enough to beat them, based on what I saw last night against a Minnesota team. And then, I think the Jets will end up having to go to Buffalo to earn their playoff spot. That's what I think will happen. The NFC, much less important to many of us around here, but the Falcons, they clinch the South Division and a top seed with a win or a tie against the Saints. That won't be easy, but that'll make a dynamite Monday night football game next week. Be one definitely worth watching. And I think that will be a game the Patriots fans should frankly watch very closely, because either one of those teams could easily be in the Super Bowl. So you're probably going to want to do your due diligence and get your scouting in and watch Monday Night Football. And make Russell Baxter very happy when we tell him that's what we're going to do on Thursday this week. The Eagles get the NFC East with a win or a tie, and a Giants loss or a tie, or with a Giants loss at Green Bay, which could happen. Eagles clinch a wild card berth with a tie or a Bucks loss or tie. Bears clinch a first round bye with a win over the Jets or a Philly loss against the Vikings and a Giants loss or tie. All right, you know what? I'm not even going to go through the NFC. Hell with it. If you're interested in it, you read it. There's any number of websites that have the scenario. I'm kind of reading from my notes here, and I'm like, you know what? It's not even necessary. I've hit the AFC. That's what we really need to be interested in. The only team in the NFC we need to be interested in is who's standing at Cowboys Stadium, first week of February. Who's left standing? That's what we need to be interested in. Webradio at patriots.com. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Facebook. Steven says, via Facebook, John, I need to point out earlier in the year, you were talking about the Jets that way. They have horseshoes, sign of a good team, wins the ugly games, etc. Bull crap. There are huge weaknesses still. The age-old problem, pressure, Brady, stop the offense. The offensive line is wearing down. The hardest four games will be upcoming. I'm more worried about the offense than the defense. The defense will continue to grow. The question is, will the offense get figured out? I.e., will a good defense pressure Brady and shut down the wide receivers? Like Green Bay and G in the playoffs, will they not face better than good defenses? The blueprint for the Super Bowl loss was arrived at looking at film of the Giants' New England regular season game. No real arguments with that, Steven. Yeah, I did talk about the Jets being the team that had the horseshoe up their rear end early in the season. But saying that, they've had the horseshoe up their rear end all year long. How many close games have they won? Most of them. Have they really had any dominating performances? You can argue that the Patriots win was their most dominating of the year. And yet they still managed to do it. So, okay, they're not going away. The Jets are who we thought they were. You know, I mean, in my worst Dennis Green impression. They're a team that's, you know, got a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and a lot of luck. I happen to think the Patriots are a better rounded team than the Jets are, but it doesn't mean the Jets aren't capable, and I think we saw that, and we've seen that all year long. Mary Beth says, glad to know someone else sees the glass half full, because I agree they won. Does it matter how they escaped the bullet? Speaking of TV, the announcers for the Sunday night game sucked. They were definitely against the Pats. They were really pissing me off with their commentary. I haven't noticed that in the past. Al Michaels? Really? Al is about as even-handed an announcer as there is. And I've heard a lot of criticism of Chris Collinsworth in the past, but I'll be honest with you. I've listened to just about every Sunday night game this year, with the exception of this last one, of course. And I really have not had any issues at all, certainly not with Al, who I think is one of the best in the game. But I haven't had any issues at all with Chris Collinsworth. In fact, I would be willing to say, Mary Beth, that Chris Collinsworth is one of the better analysts, that he's evolved into one of the better analysts that I've seen cover the NFL this year. I think he's been very even-handed, whereas earlier in his career, you know, he was more willing, I think, to go out on a limb and piss people off. I'd really love to know if anybody else shares your opinion about, you know, what Al and or Chris had to say during the telecast on Sunday night. webradio@patriots.com. If you want to share, please do so. Let me get a couple of more here from Facebook, and then we'll get to our emails. This one comes to us from... Oh, Lyndon just sent me a note. He just says, here's a useful tool for figuring out the possible playoff seeding. Okay, I like that. I'll take a look at it. Tracy says, I was not surprised by the way the game unfolded. Every time the team has expected a blowout this year, the games have been close. And every time it was supposed to be close, the Pats dominated. That's actually a pretty good point. Pretty good point. Just when we think they've got it straight and they're getting it together, they get a surprise like what we got on Sunday. You know, I think that's just part of human nature. You come to expect things happening, and when the expected doesn't happen, well, then we're kind of like, what happened? How could we be wrong? We're all such good judges of character. Well, no, I mean, we're all okay judges of character, but sometimes, like I said, we as fans here are too close to the forest to see the trees. Joshua says, John, love the show. The game caught me by surprise, but once again, the young defense stepped up again, creating the turnover at the end of the game. Brady still showed us all that he is the MVP, because in the fourth quarter, when we needed to score, Tom drove that offense right down the field and in the red zone, made the audible from a run to a pass to Hernandez for the touchdown. That's absolutely true, by the way. And you know what? We could all see it. Wasn't that true? Couldn't we all see Tom Brady's checking off at the line of scrimmage on the touchdown pass to Hernandez? How do we see that and the Packers not see that? How did that happen? Can somebody please explain to me? See, now that's the one thing that if I'm Mike McCarthy, I am most livid about. If I'm a Packers fan, I am most livid about. Everybody in the freaking free world saw that audible, and the Packers didn't. Plus, they tackled horribly. They should have had Hernandez down. And they blew the tackle. And that was another huge factor, I thought, in the game. I just thought the Green Bay's tackling was horrific. Not that the Patriots was any better. I mean, if I see John Kuhn one more time, I'm going to go nuts. Tackle the guy, will you? Well, hey, we'll give him some credit. They did stuff him at the goal line when it counted and forced him into a field goal. So there's something huge to be said about that. That may have been certainly along with Dan Connolly's, you know, kickoff return. Those were the two biggest plays of the game in my mind, without a doubt. The stuffing of Kuhn on third down and Connolly's kick return. Now, yes, Kyle Arrington's pick six was unbelievable, and McCourty had a couple of great plays out there as well. And, by the way, does anybody think that McCourty's going to get fined this week for his stick? See, I looked at that again. The receiver was on his way down. McCourty didn't lead with his head. He led with his shoulder pad. He led with his left shoulder. It just so happens that, again, in football, when you're on your way down, your helmet's going to get hit. That's why there was helmet-to-helmet contact on that play. I've looked at it time and time and time again. My guess is he probably gets one of those $7,500 jobbies. That's my guess. That's a shame, but he didn't lead with his head, okay? He did not lead with his head. That's just one of those football things that happens. Receiver was on his way down, I'm convinced of it, and his left shoulder is leading on the play, what you're supposed to do. It came from the angle of the play, the angle in which he was leaving, the angle in which the receiver was going down. Now, you could make an argument that he left his feet, that he launched himself. That may very well be why he gets fined. Because I do believe you could make the argument by looking at it that he launched himself, even though he didn't lead with his head. So, anyway, if you got a comment on that, you can certainly let me know. Let me finish Joshua's note here. He says, what I loved was even though the Patriots won the game, Coach Bill Belichick and Tom told the media that we still have a lot of work to do. And as a fan, I love hearing that because it comes to show even though this team is young, it is a very mature team. Okay, it's a good point. Good point. Stripper says, he's commenting on Donald Driver's quote that said the Patriots were decent. He said of the Patriots, who came into this game playing far better than any other team in the league or over the past month. is, quote, I don't think they're a great team, but they're decent. I mean, give them credit. They found a way to win, but we had opportunities to beat them, and we didn't take advantage. Okay, fair enough. Partly what I had mentioned on Facebook earlier was when Driver said, yeah, they're beatable. But, you know, you only say these things when you don't win. If they win that game, Donald Driver doesn't say that. You know, too many teams, too many players around the league should really follow the Patriots' mantra. When you win, say little. When you lose, say even less. And they really should do that. More and more people should do that. Get a clue. Just get a clue. Please do yourself a favor, because when you open your mouth, you're only going to insert your foot into it. And it doesn't make you look good. It doesn't make anybody look good at all. So that's why you just kind of need to be careful what it is that you say. And, you know, obviously you need to be careful of your reactions in the heat of the moment. I'm just as guilty of that as anybody else, because I got to get it off my chest. I got to get it off right away. And I got to get it out there. And then, okay, good, I feel better. Sometimes that's not always the best policy. And I need to follow my own. I need to take some of my own medicine from time to time when it comes to that. Andrew sends this by email. John, we're so lucky to have the season and team we have this year, and I hate to nitpick, but this last game made me realize one. Julian Edelman, he's one of my favorite players on the team, and I wish he could do more, but man, it seems like every time he gets thrown the ball, it bounces off his hands, or it's incomplete. I can't handle it. When will he finally catch a pass this year? So, yeah, that's my nitpick, Edelman's underperformance when he's called upon on offense. Thanks, and I hope you guys all have a very Merry Christmas. All right, Andrew, that's a good one. Writes to us from Sandy, Utah. I hadn't thought of that one, I'll be honest, but that's a legitimate nitpick, because we tend to take the minutia and expose it here on the program. Now, that's a good one. It does seem sometimes like, you know, on big play, I mean, he almost fumbled the punt return too, so, you know, you're right. He's got to handle the ball. He's got to be able to handle the ball. You know, I got to look for my nitpicks here, because I have them written down. So I'm going to stall here for just about 2 seconds just so I can, okay, here we go. sorry about that. Good thing it's radio, right? I didn't really have a ton of stuff. I think the biggest thing that I had a problem with Sunday night had to do with the fact that I just didn't feel like the Patriots defensively were aggressive. And I say that with all due respect to Vince Wilfork, who probably had one of his single better games, and Bill Belichick said so afterward, and he said it again yesterday as well. But see, Wilfork can't put on the Superman cape and do it all himself. He did his job and then some. Devin McCourty did his job and then some. Kyle Arrington did his job and then some. But it's the sum of the parts that equals the whole. I don't feel like we had a whole effort. You know, certainly it's easy to nitpick the obvious. I'm going to nitpick a little bit on Brandon Merriweather, because I think he totally misread the play where he and McCourty banged into each other and they ended up getting a 66-yard touchdown to Jones out of the deal. I don't think either one of those guys is going to throw the other player under the bus, but seeing as that he's the cover guy and he's supposed to come over and help, and I think he was behind on the play. McCourty was a half a step or two behind as Jones started sprinting past him. Merriweather got there late, and before Merriweather realized he was by him, that's when he runs into McCourty, bang, 66-yard touchdown. So I got a nitpick on that one. Big play like that should not happen. Granted, it's going to happen when you have a younger defense, when you have a defense that's still trying to work out its kinks, and let's face it, this defense is going to continue to work out its kicks right through what we hope will end up being the Super Bowl. But sometimes you get that. All right, so there's a nitpick for me. Now let me give you a superlative off of my game notes as well to balance this all out again. The Patriots' turnover differential for the season is now plus 20. Forcing two Packer turnovers, did not turn the ball over to raise their differential to plus 20. The Patriots' team record for best turnover differential in a season is plus 17, which they did in 2003. Patriots are now 11-0 this season when they record a positive turnover differential, and they were plus 2 Sunday night. They got the pick 6 from Arrington, and they got the strip sack on the final play of the game and the recovered fumble. So plus 2. And arguably, two biggest defensive plays of the game. One scored 7 points. Without it, you don't win the game because you allowed Green Bay to score 27. So the offense is responsible for 24. You lose the game if you don't get that, number one. Number two, you might not stop Green Bay unless you get that strip sack at the end, the last play of the game. Now, I know that there's been some talk about whether or not the Packers mismanaged the clock. I'll be honest with you. I don't think they mismanaged it as badly as people think they did. They were out of timeouts. They've got a basically, you know, a guy in his very first NFL start. Could he have had more help? Well, maybe. Could they have rushed to the line a little bit more and gotten off a play? Maybe. Could they have snuck it, you know, to try to pick up the first down? Well, maybe. But you got to realize that you have literally tenths of seconds to make those decisions. I don't really have a problem erring on the side of caution when you have a quarterback that's really not been through this scenario before on the professional level. I really didn't have a problem with it. I mean, I know there were some people that were saying, well, they better hurry. And I'm hearing this, and I'm like, you know, well, no, I think you want to make sure that you got it. I mean, you only got one shot at it. I think they knew that they were out of timeout, so they're only going to get one shot. So let's make sure the one shot we get is the best shot. And so he's standing back there, and he's waiting. He's looking for the end zone, and all of a sudden, boom, strip sack, fumble, end of game. Waited as long as he could. Could they have been a little more efficient? Maybe. I'll certainly give you that. If I'm a Packer fan, I'm not losing any sleep over it. I realize that McCarthy has had some scrutiny put on him for some time management issues in the past. Forget the fact that, you know, Flynn's an LSU guy, and anybody who's gone to LSU has got time management issues, apparently. But, you know, I don't really have a problem with it. It's not that big a deal to me. I think they just waited. Obviously, they waited a little bit too long, but I think they waited until like they felt comfortable. I don't really have a problem with that. All right, let's sneak in a timeout here. We got a ton more emails to get to, some more nitpicks to share with you on a Nitpick Tuesday. webradio@patriots.com. Emails are rolling in. Keep them coming. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Hit us on the Facebook page as well. And also, don't forget, the one question I asked today, why do we seem to put individual games as a microcosm of the entire season? Why is an individual game an indictment on the entire year? Why do we do this? Why do we react, oh my God, they were terrible against Green Bay, we're never going to win the Super Bowl playing that way? Why do we react like that? Your thoughts coming up in the playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com. Radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057. And you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios services available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Get ready for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You could win an all-inclusive weekend trip to Super Bowl 45. You're already halfway there. Just enter for your chance to win right here at patriots.com. Simply click on the Verizon logo to play the Gridiron Challenge. It's that easy. And you could win weekly prizes, including Patriots tickets, autographed merchandise, and more. Start playing today. Brought to you by Verizon. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Must be a legal U.S. resident 18 years or older. Ends December 27th, 2010. Void where prohibited. For official rules, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
All right, hour number two inside Patriots Playbook for a Nitpick Tuesday on Patriots.com radio. Let's get back to Facebook. Gregory says, Rook! Do the best I can here. There's about 17 O's in my name here that he's got. So, my nitpick today has to be Merriweather. He is absolutely
sucky.
Yeah, he's absolutely horrible. I think I just came up with that one, didn't I, Greg? Terrible angles all the time for tackling and defending passes, and it showed its ugly head when he took another terrible angle and took out the corner. I think it was Arrington for the King touchdown. No, it was McCourty. I think that he should just be benched for the rest of the season and move on in the offseason. The rest of the defense didn't play well overall, but he's just overall a terrible safety. Either way, great win, 12-2, first seed all but locked up, make the correct changes and get better. All right. Easier said than done, Gregory, but I would say that, you know, I don't think Merriweather's a terrible safety. He's not a terrible safety.
There are a lot worse ones.
Yeah, I'm not ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater where he's concerned.
And he should have, in effect, ended the game with that pick if the penalty doesn't get called, the Bantikane. I mean, he's made some plays.
Sometimes I think Merriweather doesn't think things through completely. And I realize that may not be his role, what he's supposed to do as a safety. Maybe sometimes he overthinks things. But honestly, I think sometimes he just reacts too much. If he could be a little more cerebral on the field, then I think maybe that would the problems that he apparently has could correct themselves. So I'm not ready to throw him out just yet. He's not in Darius Butler's category, let's put it that way. All right? I really don't believe so. But, yeah, he was definitely a nitpick from Sunday night. No doubt. Okay, what else do we have here? Let me see. Steven writes back. He says, all right, John, you got some points. I just wanted to be clear that they're not like a 12-2 team like past Pats teams or like last year's New Orleans or Indy teams. And what was going on with the call on that McCourty penalty? Did the refs look at the replay? No, they did not look at the replay. We all got a chance to see the replay. I've looked at it again several times. I clearly believe he led with his shoulder and not his helmet. But my guess is that because there was helmet-to-helmet contact, he'll probably be hit with some kind of a fine. I don't think it'll be a huge one, but I think he'll get a small one. And it may very well be that they said he launched himself. I'm a little surprised that Ed Hockley didn't say that as the lead official. By the way, is there any more of a windbag than Ed Hockley out on the field? Dude has got serious issues. I realize maybe he thinks he's just trying to do his job and being thorough so people don't boo him, but you know what? That's not really your job. Your job is to call the game. It's up to the fans to understand what it's all about, to be honest with you. And we can't hear anything. We're supposed to be able to hear it. We can't hear it where we are either. So, you know, I don't know what the deal is with that, but, I mean, I think less is more, Ed, is all I'm saying. Less is probably more. All right, back to the emails. And this one comes from Keith, who says, Keith's in Dallas. Hey, Keith. First, Julian Edelman, not delivering. This must be his nitpicks. Yeah, three nitpicks from the Green Bay Patriot game. All right, number one, Julian Edelman not delivering when the Patriots call his number in key situations. The latest incident, I think that's what he says here, in this game was this game. He let the ball go straight through his hands. I think Taylor Price could catch the ball in key situations like that. Well, now, Keith, in all honesty, we don't know because Taylor Price hasn't been in there. So it's hard to say Taylor Price could catch the ball when he hasn't been tested yet. Let's see him in there first and see if he can make a few catches first before we say, hey, Taylor Price could do it. Let's put him in there. Nah, careful what you wish for. You might get it. He says, which leads me to the question, if we win the Buffalo game, do you think we would let Taylor Price start in the last game, being that we've secured number one seed in the AFC? I think it's time to end the Julian Edelman experience and sit him down. Well, I don't disagree with that. I think if they clinch this weekend against Buffalo, that you'll see a lot of guys sit down. And as I said early in the show, Keith, you'll treat the last regular season game just like the last preseason game. And it should be treated like that. Because the Patriots have plenty of defensive linemen that they need to get healthy again. My other nitpick is that they just were way, way, way too soft in the middle defensively on Sunday. Not Vince Wilfork's fault. Not his problem. But they clearly have depth issues. Eric Moore, God love him. You signed him from the UFL. He can't do it. He's not a big enough dude. Love him as a rusher, though. Put him down. Put him as an end rusher. Put him as an outside linebacker. I think the guy can play. But he's not a down lineman. And the Patriots are getting manhandled by the Green Bay offensive line. That's why the Packers rushed for 140 yards. And they had statistically one of the worst running games. It's because they manhandled the Patriots up front. I mean, Wilfork can only take on two or three guys at once. That's all. It's enough. But he can't take on the whole line by himself, although it looks like he tries. He needs help. And I think you can get some help if you can get some guys an extra week. And I think that's what happens here against Miami. If things break right, you can get a little bit of help. All right. His second nitpick. Gary Guyton is the next person on my list because he sucks in run defense situations and over-pursues on his tackles, which usually ends up with him slipping to the ground and putting his other teammates in bad position. If you go back and look at the game, they were running the ball straight at him with Kuhn. I don't think Gary Guyton is a great run defender. I think he's an adequate run defender, but Gary Guyton this year has also showed me a penchant for making big plays. And he can be one of those guys you can depend on to step up and make a stop, get a pick, strip sack, what have you. When you need him to. He's had a couple of huge plays this year defensively. Keep in mind now that Brandon Spikes has sort of usurped him as the starting inside linebacker. Spikes is still out for two more weeks with his suspension. He should be back for the playoffs, which is good news. But keep in mind now you're playing thin back there, and so he's been put into situations that he might not excel at. Is Gary Guyton still a good part of the puzzle? Yes. You want to nitpick him? Okay, nitpick him, because that's what we do. But I'm certainly not going to put the ball all all of the blame in his corner. And then Keith's third nitpick, the national media dissing the Patriots. I don't know where you're going to go with this one, pal. He says, it's funny how the Patriots played a close game with the Packers, and everyone is saying that Matt Flynn outplayed Tom Brady and the Patriots are in trouble. While in Pittsburgh, the Jets have to roll out a trick play to finally come up with an offensive touchdown, and they win close, and now the Jets are back on track. Then they went as far as saying that Troy Polamalu wouldn't have made a difference. I think the national media is trying too hard to make the Jets appear as the dominant team in the AFC East. No, I just out and out disagree with that, Keith. I guess it depends on your perspective a little bit, but the Jets are a story because the Patriots have been a story for a decade. The Jets are a story because they did, you know, the HBO special this last summer. The Jets are a story because they got a loudmouth, obnoxious head coach whose team is now kind of following in his footsteps. Matt Flynn outplayed Tom Brady. Well, it's because his team had the ball 40 minutes. 40 minutes. You would suck as a quarterback if you didn't outplay Tom Brady. Statistically. You had more than double the time Tom Brady had. And by the way, the Packers do have good receivers, don't you think? Donald Driver, Greg Jennings, Jones.
James Jones.
I mean,
Jordy
come on.
Nelson.
Yeah, good receivers, men. Good wideouts. That's a good wideout core. Matt Flynn is a good quarterback. He got a chance to play. My guess would be now he's probably licking his chops, you know, for a chance to play someplace else.
Yeah, he might have seen some dollar signs.
Could you see him in Carolina? Yeah. I mean, come on. Sure. You might be seeing that. Now, I don't know what his contractual situation is at Green Bay, but most backups are usually on a year-to-year deal. Most. So I'm just saying here, dude might be seeing dollar signs dancing. Flynn played well. I think we all realize that, you know, you can have a good game, still doesn't make you a better quarterback overall from start to finish. Now, if you actually heard some national media dissing the Patriots, consider the source is all I'm going to tell you. Most of the time, I really believe most of the ESPN guys, with a few exceptions, won't do that because they know they're going to end up looking foolish in the long haul. You might get a couple of guys from Fox. You might get a couple of guys from NFL Network who's they don't think their bleep stinks anyway on NFL Network. But most of the ESPN guys have wised up, most of them. Not all of them, most of them. Because they know they're just going to end up looking foolish because the Patriots will come back and haunt them.
Flynn signed through the next season. He's still on his rookie deal.
Okay.
So he's got 1 year left with the Packers next year. And then he's free as a bird.
Well, so he definitely took advantage of the situation presented to him. And then he'll go in there being, you know, nice and happy next year as Aaron Rodgers' backup. Hope that the Pack has some, some relatively healthy players to go along, and maybe they can do something next year. And then he has to wait until 2012. Or then again, if they don't play next year, I mean, I guess it's
true. I mean, when you look at the situation Green Bay's in right now, they're 8-6. They're a full game out of the wild card with two left to play. He might not be done playing this year either. If they're eliminated next week, I don't see why you'd play Aaron Rodgers the last week in a meaningless game, do you?
No.
So, you know, he might not be done getting his audition this year, which would only help his cause.
Absolutely correct. Now, this is the second time he's had to sit with a head injury this year, Rodgers. In that regard, yeah, you want to be real cautious, especially if you're a game out.
Green Bay was eliminated from the NFC North contention last night with Chicago's win.
Right.
So they cannot win the division.
Right.
And it's for them to win the wild card, there's like a bunch of other wacky things that need to happen, with the tiebreakers and stuff like that. So it's looking pretty
well. Suffice to say, they have
to
win their last two.
Yeah.
And still have some things happen.
Happen, exactly. They don't hold their destiny in their hands by any stretch. So, you know, this guy could be getting another.
If they get eliminated, my guess is that he probably plays this week. That's my guess.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if Rodgers would be ready, but he certainly will play the final week if they get eliminated this week.
Yeah, so we could see a lot more of this guy.
So the audition will continue. I think Flynn was a pretty good quarterback. I got to tell you.
He impressed me. I thought he was going to be a joke because just by the simple math that I did, John, was he couldn't score a touchdown on the Lions, and we hung 45 on the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, how do I expect him to come in here and put up 30-plus points against the Patriots on a national stage.
He had a week to prepare, which helps.
True, but I didn't think it would make this drastic of a difference.
And a part of that, I think, is because I think the Packers prepared their asses off. And I think the Packers had a great game plan. And I think the Packers just wanted this game more than the Patriots apparently did. And the Patriots are very lucky to have won. It's that simple. Really, it's that simple. Packers were desperate. Desperate teams. Hey, how many times have we talked about it from a Patriots point of view? Desperate teams come out and fight. We saw that from Green Bay. We didn't see that as much from New England. I hope we see more fight this week. All right, Aaron in Sterling, Virginia. Rookie, what are we saying? Sit the starters for the last home game and end Brady's NFL-leading home win streak? Would they do that, or do you think Brady sits the whole game? Sitting out could also throw off his routine, so it seems risky. I'm thinking Brady starts, and he uses that to push the offense on the sidelines. Don't screw this up, Hoyer. Don't lose this streak for me. Just a thought. Actually, your thought is dead on. I think he starts the last game, even if it's a meaningless game.
Yeah.
Just like I said, Aaron, he'll start the last game. Both starting units will be in there. They'll probably play the first quarter. Might even get into the first series or so of the second quarter. Try to get a lead if you can, and then let's see if the second and third teamers can hold it.
And here's where he's going to improve. This is undoubtedly from our good friend Russell Baxter.
All right, good.
The ESPN stats crew down there.
Yeah, go.
As could be expected, the Packers offense wasn't opened up much for Matt Flynn. Of his 37 pass attempts, just 8 of them went for more than 10 yards. He completed 3 of those 8 attempts for 98 yards, most all of which came on James Jones' 66-yard touchdown, which is where McCourty and Merriweather ran into each other.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells you, A, they didn't really trust him to go down the field all that much,
no.
And B, the Patriots really couldn't tackle.
They didn't tackle well at all.
Because all those balls were just dump-off passes were being stretched.
They didn't tackle well
by
at all.
By the likes of John Kuhn and whoever, who aren't exactly guys you would think that are going to run wild.
Which is and was a huge nitpick from the game. But they just the Patriots
that,
did not
that's
tackle.
That's a good little nugget that I read probably like Sunday night when I was reading the blog after the game that I just went back to today.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah, they just didn't tackle. Also tells you that, you know, I'm a little alarmed as to why the Patriots didn't adjust, because it was clear that Flynn was not going to really beat them deep. The one deep play that you suggested, the Patriots blew that one.
It was a mistake.
It was a mistake.
It was third and long, and it was just kind of a fluky situation
where two guys
bump into each other.
Exactly. So that tells me that the Patriots, why were they so scared about the deep ball if they were allowing the short pass to come in? This is a situation where, you know, clearly Green Bay ran the ball.
They ran it effectively.
They ran effective. Why aren't we putting, you know, 7 or 8 in the box?
Jackson had like 99 yards. Kuhn had like 30 or 40 to throw in there. So they ran well.
Why aren't we putting 8 or 9 in the box? Why didn't we do that? I'm a little perplexed as to why the game plan defensively was what it was.
I mean, I think
against Green Bay.
Part of the problem, John, was they did bring heat against Flynn, and they ended up getting 5 sacks.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of the problem was when they brought a lot of heat, but he was mobile and agile enough to get outside the pocket, you know, buy himself some more time and find the guy to check down. And then when you're bringing 6 guys, 7 guys on the rush, and he's able to get rid of the football and check it down and complete the pass, there's not that many guys back there left to stop him.
Yeah. All right, good point. Good point. I'll buy that as a reason, sure.
And I mean, the ESPN stats crew did a great job. The Patriots blitzed about, I think it was like 40 to 45% more than they usually do on Sunday night.
Brian says, in an answer to my question, why do we take each week and make it an indictment of the whole season and overreact to one game? And Brian says, it's because people don't remember the Pats of old. 2-14 seasons haven't happened in many fans' lifetimes. I'd be willing to bet that in the 90s, Bills fans did the same things. Maybe. But I have a hard time believing that we have too many Pats fans. I mean, I know we have some younger Pats fans here. Our friend, you know, Derek, cousin Derek, you know, out at University of Arizona, and some others who are, you know, the 20-something ilk that wouldn't go back to the early 90s, you know, the days of Rod Rust and Dick McPherson. In the latter stages of, you know, Raymond Berry's tenure as head coach, and find some really awful, awful Patriots teams. I'd be willing to bet, though, the majority of our fans do remember those years. Am I wrong about that? Maybe what we have to do next, one of our next shows, maybe we can do this next week or something, Kevin. Next week, I want everybody, and I, if I promise, especially for the women, to not say anything, I have to have everybody write their age. I don't care what you're from. Oh, it's great to tell me where you're from, but how old are you? So we can get a perspective of how old our listening audience is. Because I'd be willing to bet that, again, just my hunch based on some of the reactions that I've gotten. While we've got some great younger fans like Derek out there and some others, I'd be willing to bet that everyone, the majority, let's just put it this way, majority of our fans are probably late 20s to 30 up. I'll wager we don't have too many your age, Kev. And you're what, 20?
I'm 25.
Okay.
New 25.
Okay. So you're 25. I'd be willing to say that 90% of our listeners are older than you.
Yeah, I would say that's a fair point, if not more.
And if that's the case, if that is the case, and again, please, correct me if I'm wrong. If I've got, you know, a group of 75 kids listening in a dorm somewhere or in a frat house somewhere, then by God, let me know. Be great. I'll give you big shout-outs, big ups. But, you know, I think most of our fans have some depth to the perception of the Patriots.
Yeah, a lot of these people have been around for the thin times.
Yes.
Too.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the last, you know, losing season we had was Belichick's first in 2000.
And I was 15, so, mm-hmm. I mean, when
you're looking remember.
At
the, you're old enough to remember
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but when you extend it even beyond that, you go back to Schaefer Stadium and whatnot, mm-hmm. There's people that have seen some pretty ugly years around here.
Hey, going back many times myself, we were just talking about old Foxborough Stadium on Sunday night, talking about how cramped.
Sometimes those people need to be reminded of where this organization came from and how it's evolved and what it's evolved into, mm-hmm. because the last 10 years have been just such a whirlwind and like a dream scenario for us here.
Let's go to Bob's email. It says, John, some folks are souring on the Patriots, and here is what they and Tom Brady have done recently. Number one, set an NFL record of 6 straight games without a turnover. Patriots had set the record the week before at 5 games. You are correct, sir. Number two, Tom Brady set an NFL record of 7 games of throwing at least 2 touchdown passes without an interception. Record was formerly held in 1966 by Don Meredith. Once again, correct. You're stealing my thunder here. I had all these written down, but thank you for bringing them up, Bob. Number three, Tom Brady continued his record of quarterbacking his team to 27 straight regular season wins at home by beating the Packers. Correct. Number four, Tom Brady is now second all-time in the most consecutive games with at least 110 passer rating. As of week 15, 6 games he's done a 110 or better. And Steve Young set the record at 7 of those such games in 1994. So he's got a chance to break that record and own it all by himself if he can do it the last 2 weeks here. I don't know that he gets the chance in the last week, though. Bill Belichick, number 5, has now won 63 games at home after the Pats had taken the lead in the fourth quarter. And number 6, finally, Tom Brady set the single-season record in Week 15 for number of passes thrown without a pick, 292. And counting, even though it's pretty clear 2 of them were dropped. I mean, come on, 2 were dropped. Woodson had one.
That one was pathetic. That one was right in front of me.
That was pathetically bad. And who was the linebacker that dropped one toward the end?
It was on the
winning touchdown drive.
Yes, it was, I think.
Yeah.
And there was a number of them that got batted up in the air at the line of scrimmage that might have
It's amazing
been
that
able
one
to
didn't
caught.
Get picked.
Yeah.
Every time the
Pretty
ball got
high
tipped.
End of the year.
I know. It was amazing that the tip ball didn't get picked. I just, you know, that's talk about sunshine being blown up somebody's rear end. That's what's happening there. He says, in addition, again, Brady set the record from the beginning of a career without throwing an INT with 162. Correct. Number 7, since Brady took over, he has never lost a game at home where the Patriots were leading going into the third quarter. Folks, what does anybody have to complain about? Making one game a single referendum on the entire season is ridiculous. Instead, please stop seeing the forest for the trees. All right, Bob. Well, point out, you bring lots of fact to the table. Thank you, sir. Thanks for having my back on that one, bruh. That's my cool vernacular, by the way. Call everybody bruh. Brian says, we take each game and weigh the future on it if they win, because this is either the team you hope will play in next week's game or when they get in the playoffs. If you base it off a game that they lose, You hope they don't show up like that in the next week's game. Or you believe they wouldn't make the playoffs because of that performance. I don't think we should evaluate each game like this because any team can be beaten on any given day. I view games like this because the Patriots have always been consistent year in and year out. If you look at it, there have only been a couple of times where the Patriots haven't made the playoffs over the past 10 years or so. That's true, twice. So therefore, I believe you can look at each game and see what the future holds for this team based on that performance. All right. I think I see what you're saying there, Brian. You do have to kind of look at the bigger picture. You can use the week's game as a microcosm, but you have to look at it in the context of the big picture. Now, it's harder to do that at the beginning of the year because you don't have a big picture created at the beginning of the year. Your year is unknown. The year is still ahead of you. So you only have week to week to go by the early part of the season. Whereas now that you get past the midway point of the season, you get to weeks 10 and upwards, you've got a track record. You've got a tendency. You've got trends. And so because you have those, you find out, well, okay, these were the trends. This is how they reacted. How did it compare to the trend? And I don't think we do that enough here. Well, we try to do it here on the show, but as fans, I'm talking kind of in a general sense here. We don't do it enough in the overall picture, in the overall scheme of things. We tend to be hot-button issue people. We tend to be hot-button topic people. We tend to be reactionary to every little thing that bugs us, and we got to get it out in the open, and let's talk about it right now, and let's crack the problem. Right? Rapid fire. Chill. Take a step back. Realize that, you know, okay, now we have a track record here. Now we have something to go by, so let's breathe. Breathe slowly. Take a look at the big picture. And that's all, really, I've tried to do today in reaction to the, oh, my God, we suck again kind of reaction that I think, you know, I've experienced over the last 48 hours. No, we don't suck again. We almost lost a game, sure, but that's because the opponent played well. Hey, guess what? I'm patting them on the back. Green Bay played a great game. This is the NFL. Anybody's capable. I've had a couple of emails say this. Anybody's capable. Anybody beats anybody on any given week. Parity. Evenness. The teams that succeed in this day and age of parity are the teams that are prepared. And the Patriots sometimes aren't as prepared as we would like them to be. Why is that? Because they're younger. They're less experienced. There's not as many veterans on this team. That is not something that is acquired. That is a learned trait. And you only learn it through repetition. You only learn it through doing it every week. And the Patriots are trying to do that right now. This is a team that's going through growing pains and going to continue to go through growing pains. Doesn't make them a bad team. Just means that, you know, when you are less defined of a team than you wish to be, you have to figure out a way to overcome your shortcomings. And that's exactly, again, what they did on Sunday. They overcame their fallacies. They did what they had to do. The one constant that they've had this year is they've had somebody on defense now since about week six or seven. They had somebody on defense step up and make a play, and they had it. Arrington made a play. Wilfork made a play. Guyton has made plays. Merriweather's made plays. Spikes has made plays. McCourty has made plays. We've got guys making plays. Dane Fletcher has made plays. Ninkovich made plays. Come on. There's almost not a guy on the defense you can't name and say he hasn't made a play, because most of them have. Context. And we've got more of it now to work with because now we're getting into week 16. All right, Howard in Connecticut. Wow, what a game. Not even close to what I thought was going to happen. Though, had Woodson held on to that INT, my prediction for the turnover by interception to Woodson would have come true. Well, that's very true. You did call that. He did say that last week. He said Brady's streak will end and Woodson's going to catch it. Love the fact that the Pats found a way to win what was a tough game against a desperate opponent in the Green Bay Packers. I concur. I know it's Nitpick Tuesday, but really, there are a lot more than nitpicks this week. There were glaring mistakes that need to be corrected, and I'm certain Bill Belichick will focus on those, as will the players, and they will come out focused against the Bills this week. That said, I don't think this is an easy game coming up, even though it is to the lowly 4-10 Bills. I think the Bills will come ready to play and ready to prove that they have improved each week since the Week 3 loss, where they went toe-to-toe with the Patriots. Pats have something to play for, so hopefully they can come out and put this one away early, grab home field advantage, or as Howard says, HFA, for the entire playoffs, and then rest up the players and get ready for a playoff run. That must be his textees, HFA. Like LOL, LMAO, LMFAO. One item I do want to note, though, is that Vince Wilfork was a beast Sunday night. He was everywhere causing havoc and even covering running backs out of the backfield. Everyone is high on Mayo and McCourty, and rightfully so because their play has been great, but Wilfork is the catalyst that drives this D and is, in my honest opinion, the MVP of this defense this year. By the way, Fairfield County, Connecticut, if you have cable vision, you get Channel 2 feed from New York and Channel 3 from Hartford, both CBS stations. So if you get to watch both the Jets on Channel 2 and the Pats on Channel 3, the only issue is Channel 3 is not on HD. Oh, well, sorry, Howard. Jeez, sucks to be you. Really? That's pretty cool, though. So he gets the Jets on 2, and he gets the Pats on 3. That's nice. Sweet. All right, then I nominate Howard in Sheldon, Connecticut to basically...
We're all going to Howard's
house. Yeah, we're all going to go to Howard's house for a game-watching party on Sunday. That's okay. Your wife won't mind day after Christmas, right, Howard? Nah, I didn't think so.
Plenty of leftovers, right?
Oh, that'd be sweet. Actually, you know, Thanksgiving leftovers are the best, but Christmas leftovers are not bad. They're not bad. They have their moments. Depends on what you have for Christmas dinner, I think. Hi, John. This one comes from Terrence. Christmas music you played is not Mannheim. It's by it's the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and it's called Christmas Eve Sarajevo.
Yeah, I realized that.
Oh, okay.
I figured that
out.
Oh,
see, so you screwed me on that one, didn't you? You threw me under the bus.
I was just
one.
Trying to be a little festive, that's okay. All, and I get killed for it.
Okay. Terrence threw you under the bus, and he throws me
under
the bus,
No more Christmas
too.
Music for Terrence.
Bah humbug. That was Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Okay. Well, I know... Mannheim Steamroller's pretty good at that stuff, too. Geez, Terrence, should we sit here and compare the relative merits of Trans-Siberian Orchestra and Mannheim Steamroller? Good Christmas music. Wow. I mean, wow. All right, let me get one more in here before timeout. Gustavo from Brazil. Hey, John, I have a couple of nitpicks. But first, let me tell you that I was a little mad at some mistakes that the Pats made. I guess that after the 2007 season, I learned to appreciate a well-played regular season and not to take the playoffs for granted. We have to keep playing at a high level always. No one's really going to argue with that one, Gustavo. He says, two of my nitpicks. Number one, the tackles missed by the defense. Yes, sir, especially when that John Kuhn carried the ball. Haven't we learned how bad this is at this time of the season? You're absolutely right. Number two, can't Julian Edelman catch a ball anymore? I really like him. I think last season he proved he can contribute to this team, but God, catch the ball. Oh, no, he says, God, catch the ball. Attaboy, Gustavo. However, I completely agree with you. At least we won. Happy holidays, everybody, from Gustavo in Porto Alegre, Brazil. Happy holidays, Gustavo. And your nitpicks? Yes, sir. I think those are the overwhelming choices as our two leading in the clubhouse for nitpicks. Poor tackling and Julian Edelman. Nitpicks, but, you know, yeah, something's got to happen. That's very true. All right, let's squeeze a timeout in. Then we come back and wrap up with our emails. There's still time for you to contribute. Webradio@patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Or hit us up on Facebook right here, Patriots Playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday. Hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com radio. Get ready for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You could win an all-inclusive weekend trip to Super Bowl 45. You're already halfway there. Just enter for your chance to win right here at Patriots.com. Simply click on the Verizon logo to play the Gridiron Challenge. It's that easy. And you could win weekly prizes, including Patriots tickets, autographed merchandise, and more. Start playing today. Brought to you by Verizon. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Must be a legal U.S. resident 18 years or older. Ends December 27th, 2010. Void where prohibited. For official rules, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only. Equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Braves!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
All right, Steven texted back, chatted back, says, oh, you were doing great until you did okay with the Merriweather get some slack. Butler doesn't. Merriweather has been playing the same way since he ended up in the Pro Bowl on luck. Now he just keeps going with the same mindset. He'll just keep playing how he did in his Pro Bowl year, always try to make the play. Butler still may learn to play. Merriweather's 4 years left, lost cause. Merriweather is always looking to make a highlight reel whenever he can. More important to him than playing within the system, trying to get back to the Pro Bowl. I don't think so. I mean, says he needs to be someplace else, and that may wake him up. You know, having spoken to the guy, having actually talked to Brandon, I don't think of him like that. You may see his reaction like that out on the field. I just don't get the sense that he's like that. And the reason that I don't cut him the slack that I don't cut Butler the slack that I cut him is because I think he's a better athlete than Butler. They also play different positions. We're not asking Merriweather to be a cover corner. We're asking Merriweather basically to do what he does, to make big plays. But I'm asking him to use his head a little bit more rather than just his, you know, reactionary strength. Because sometimes, you know, he thinks too much, or sometimes he doesn't think enough. I don't know. I thought it was just a little bit different. But, you know, fair enough. You can throw me under the bus for that. Paul says, John, at least after two blowouts, we have some serious nitpicks we can make again. Have to start with a D. It couldn't stop the run against a team with no running game, and it got picked apart by a backup quarterback. The O didn't help. The three and out in the third quarter sending them straight back out when they desperately needed rest, and the boneheaded penalties like Banta Kane's reversing what would have been the match-winning pick. You can tell when he says match-winning where he's from.
Match?
Right?
Yeah. I was going to say, we're not on the pitch.
I know. Nice try, Paul. It says Merriweather tackling his own man to get up a touchdown didn't help either. We won, but it's a wake-up call to everyone after the optimism of the last 2 weeks. Hopefully the team will use it as such, refocus, and move on from here. It's clear that they need to improve or it will be another short postseason. And then Strippers answers that one. He says, and I was yelling at the TV, they're giving it to Coon! I think we're all yelling that. Number 30! Yeah, I know. Tackle number 30! He's got the ball! You know? We had a lot of Packer fans in the stands, by the way, didn't we? I couldn't believe we were getting that Coon yell. Oh, my gosh. What is up with that, Patriots fans? Good grief. I thought that was, like, borderline embarrassing, to be quite honest with you. There were a ton of Packers fans there. We had a bunch of fans in Packers jerseys sitting in front of us where we are, and we're at the 40-yard line. They had good seats. That just shouldn't happen. I mean, I realize people probably, you know, spend, you know, their whole vacations, you know, their funds on tickets like that to come up with it. But, I mean, if you're a Patriots fan and you have tickets.
Saw a lot of cheeseheads.
Yeah. And you sell them to somebody like that, shame on you as a Pats fan. You got to sell them to Patriots fans, for God's sake. Come on.
I've always wanted to be a Packer. And I think I always will be a Packer.
Right. A fudge Packer.
You know what's going to happen? He's going to retire finally. He's going to sign a one-day contract, and he'll retire a Packer.
That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? Are you calling that? Is that your prediction?
I'm calling it. I think it's going to
happen. He's going to do the Nomar?
I think it's going to happen, yeah. He's going to retire as a Packer. I think bygones will be bygones. I think Green Bay fans will kiss and make up. He's going to go into the Hall of Fame as a Packer. So I think he's going to retire as a Packer. I think that would complete him.
Interesting. I'll give you a lot of credit if that's right, because I just don't see that happening.
I do. Okay. I'll be happy to say I'm wrong if it doesn't happen, but I just think that makes too much sense. I think it's going to happen. Okay, a couple of other superlatives here, and I'll get to some more nitpicks. Patriots have scored 30 points, at least 30, without committing a turnover in each of their past six games that extends their NFL record. No other team, let me repeat this, no other team in NFL history has had 30 or more points and no turnovers in more than three straight games. That's extraordinary. That really is. That's extraordinary.
It's good stuff.
Dan Connolly's kickoff return, the 71-yarder, I have to bring it up because, I mean, we're all laughing uncontrollably. We're like, go! I heard the best line of the night in the press box or where we were sitting there, in our booth. Run, Forrest, run!
Was it by a guy wearing a sweater vest by any chance?
No, yes, it was.
Some clapping in the background?
Oh, it was good.
But I was kind of worried about him because he left the game and didn't come back. And I guess they said
Do we have any idea what's wrong?
Yeah, they said he had a concussion, which I don't know got it on that type of play.
No, it apparently happened later in the game. I don't think it happened on the run back.
They had Ryan. There was some breakdowns in pass protection, to say the least, as the game wore on. And Mike Reese and a few other people highlighted it. You know, when you watch the game over again, when you're not there in person, there was some situations, especially B.J. Raji's sack, they just let him go. There was miscommunication. Wendell came off his man, doubled A.J. Hawk for some reason, mm-hmm. and B.J. Raji was free into the backfield, blew up poor little Danny Woodhead, and just ate Brady for lunch. Mm-hmm. And that stuff can't happen.
No.
Because B.J. Raji, as we were discussing, is a big boy, and you don't want him landing on Brady.
Very big boy. But the 71-yard kickoff return, the longest kickoff return in NFL history by an offensive lineman, according to the Elias Sports Bureau. Previous longest kickoff return for a Patriots offensive lineman was a 27-yarder by Stephen Neal back in 08 against Pittsburgh. The alleged NFL record, I believe I read this somewhere, was a 47? It was either 47 or 57-yarder.
Something like that. They only started keeping track of the stats in like 94 right. or something like that.
Yeah, for all players. Yeah. For all players. But I think the longest one is alleged, and actually a touchdown was scored off it too, if I'm not mistaken. But total yards, Connolly's return is an NFL record.
For a lineman. Yeah.
For a lineman.
I think, wasn't Ellis Hobbs a record for a while? For,
I believe
he
so.
He was like 108 for a
yes.
touchdown
yeah. uh-huh.
against the Jets.
Yeah, I think so. Keith writes back, he says, I think most, not all of the fans have this mentality, talking about each game as an individual referendum on the season, because of what they hear when they watch NFL Network and ESPN Monday Night Football pre- and post-game analysis, not realizing that more than 90% of the media wants the Patriots to fall, so they point at anything we do wrong or incorrect and will stress the situation unnecessarily. That's a good point. While other teams like the Jets can win close, and now the state of the Jets organization is back on track, fans need to realize that they have to have their blinders on when listening to that garbage. The other fans, including myself, expect to win against lesser opponents like the Browns and Green Bay with no Aaron Rodgers. They're just disappointed when things don't go the way we expect it to go. I think we just need to stop expecting greatness and be humble like Bill Belichick. And if you look at the past Super Bowl winning teams, all of those teams have had fate in their hands and almost lost against lesser opponents in their winning years. Example, in 08, Steelers against the Rams and the Cowboys, Ravens and Cowboys. 09, Saints, Falcons, Tampa Bay, Dolphins and Panthers. And then the Colts against the Jags and Dolphins. Okay, Keith, good backup material there. Bear from New Jersey. Hey, John, I'm not sure why everyone is panicking. Basically, Green Bay came in with one of the best defenses and a great offense. Flynn did just about as good as Rodgers. I have a hard time seeing Rodgers doing any better than Flynn in that particular game. And the game with close was close, but the Patriots won even when they only had 20 minutes of possession. If anything, that gives me more confidence. I think that's one great way to look at it, Bear. You know, they didn't play well. They only had the ball for 19 minutes and change. They still won the game. Now, if these two teams had really been even, you don't win that game. Sean from Atlanta. John, this question is a little off topic, but I was wondering if the NFL went to an 18-game schedule, would there be an asterisk on the new NFL season records that would be broken? Love the show. Keep up the great work. No asterisk. Nope. They would not do a Ford Frick. You know, like you did with the asterisk when they moved baseball from 144
valid
to 162.
Question, no,
they won't do it. They won't do it. A record's a record's a record's a record. And that's the way it should be. So what if the universe expands? I mean, the universe expands. We don't know it, but the universe is always expanding. It is a natural progression of life. And, in this instance, the natural progression of sport.
You're getting really deep on us here.
It is. It's true.
It's profound.
We expand, just like my waistline expands. It happens. It's a fact of life. Deal with it. So
it's
no.
It's funny because he's fat.
No, I'm not. No, I don't think I'm fat, but I'm not svelte either.
No.
So
not as fat as I am.
No, you're not. What are you talking about? You're 25. You're not fat.
Ever since I started, the pounds have just been pouring on.
Well, that's because you get to eat at all hours of the day.
That's true.
And you're eating nothing but like pasta.
That's true.
Which is easy to make.
Kevin,
and that's
shut
all
up.
They have around here.
Shut up about your weight.
If it's free.
Coming from a man who knows.
If it's free, I'll eat it.
It's free, it's for me, baby.
Yeah, baby.
Exactly.
So I used to work with somebody that thought like that.
Absolutely. Well, we all have.
In this business, no.
Oh, no. Pete, what's happening,
you're
brother?
Making my point.
What's happening, man?
Nothing. I'm just gearing up and ready for Christmas. And, you know, I'm just... I said it on Facebook, I think it was Monday or something, whatever. I just like to get response from people. And it's just amazing, the same people in this town who cover this team sometimes and locally and nationally and just hit the panic button over, you know, a couple plays here and there. These same people who back when Bill Belichick let go of Randy Moss said he didn't know what he was doing, had lost it, that belongs in an asylum, all that stuff. Then they jump back on the bandwagon for 4 weeks after they see them, you know, they win games 45-3. And then because they only beat the Packers with Matt Flynn by 4 points, now the team sucks again. It is pathetic, some of the people that cover this team. It's pathetic. Shame on them.
Are you going to call? Are you going to call him out?
Well, see, Borges is one. We all know that.
That's why we love Pete.
But it's not even. It's not even. It's. You know, and Charlie Pierce. Remember our friend Charlie Pierce debating me on Facebook about. Well, give me an example. Go back and read Borges' columns from the beginning of the season. He jumps on the bandwagon for a couple weeks, and then, like a little rat on crap, or a little fly on crap, he waits for something like this to happen, something like this being only a Patriot mediocre 4-point win, to say that they suck all over again. I mean, it's just, it's so contrived. It's so obvious what this guy is all about. It's so personal. Why bother? If you're the Herald, why let this guy continue to embarrass your paper by covering the team? He's not being edgy as a columnist, okay? We all know it's personal. It's absolutely personal. And I got to watch him with the boogers under his nose on three shows at once, for crying out loud, the other night. Why? One's bad enough. I got to see him on three?
They really have boogers?
The problem is, disgusting. I do the Herald justice, and I love that by commented about the guy because that's what they want. They want a reaction.
Right.
I'm reacting to the Herald saying, you know what? Go back and look at what this guy has written over the years about this team. He has been wrong about 98.4% of the time. So why would it matter? Why is it relevant what Ron Borges writes about the Patriots because they only won a game by 4 points against Green Bay? Obviously, they didn't play that well. They also had 3.5 linemen in the game.
Remember?
You know, it's unbillievable.
Remember when he called Bill a gym teacher?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, but he's just one example. He's not alone. He's the worst one of all of them, but he's not alone.
Locally, yeah.
But so he keeps ridiculous. Being, he gets on, he's on radio, he's on television. Why? Why does this guy's opinion matter so much to people? Well, because he's edgy and controversial? How about just being personal and stupid? Because that's what it is.
He does
unexcused.
He does know how to tweak the emotions, doesn't
but
he?
It's unexcused. Not even, it's the same emotion I've had for the last 8 years reading this guy when it comes to this team, is that he's a fraud. We all know about his dinners with Drew Bledsoe at his home. We all know what it was personal. He has some personal vendetta against Belichick, still dating back to what happened in 2001. He's the only one that does.
You were horrible.
And Marshall Faulk, how about Marshall Faulk the other day on NFL Network saying that, giving Patriots praise, giving Tom Brady a lot of credit.
That had to take a lot out of him.
There's another guy. Why are people like that hired by networks when they've come out in the past and said how much they hate the Patriots? And why are they allowed to speak about it? I don't care if he wants to speak about other teams. Don't have him on commenting about the Patriots. It's irrelevant when you have guys like that over the years have come out and trashed this team time and time again.
Maybe that's what they told him. Maybe they said, look, you got to balance this out, fella, or you're not going to get your credit. Your credibility is going to be shot.
You can be balanced out if the team, you can't, nobody can sit here and say the Patriots played well on Sunday. We all know that, but we also have seen great teams, which they are, they're becoming a great team. Mm-hmm. When you don't play your best, you win games like that. It happens all the time in the NFL. It happens all the time in a lot of other sports. But for people to just constantly go back and forth, they're in, they're out, pass or fail, strictly pass or fail, without looking at the big picture, look at the body of work this team, what they've accomplished over this year, particularly the last 7 or 8 weeks, to me it's ludicrous to start panicking like they're not going to do anything. It's insane. And a whack Buffalo this week, you know they will, because there's only been one time in the last, I don't know, 8 games in Buffalo the game's even been under double digits. So you know that's going to happen. If anybody thinks it's going to be 38-30 again like it was on week 3 or week 2, you can forget that. You know what's going to happen on Sunday. We all know what's going to happen. They're going to be favored by 10, 14 points. They're going to win by 30.
That's what I love about Pete. He fuels the fire, huh?
I'm ready to go.
I've seen it too many times. I've seen it too many times before. The same people who constantly want to trash this team after they're 12-2, by the way, it wasn't a sexy loss. It wasn't a sexy win. They didn't win by enough, so now they suck again. Oh, it's just amazing to me.
All right, Pete's coming up in just a couple of minutes. Let me wrap up with a couple of emails here.
Some caffeine now.
Yeah, you should have a little bit. That's non-caffeinated tea, right?
Is it? No, it's only the caffeinated
coffee. Okay, all right.
By the way, every oyster cracker on the planet is in the other room.
Oh, yeah.
Did you eat them all?
No, I didn't. I don't eat that stuff. Come
what
on,
question
man.
Is
I'm
that?
I'm a gentleman. I'm not doing that stuff. I'm having my tea.
He's having a cup of tea.
Afternoon tea.
For all our
listeners. It is 4 o'clock.
For the UK Pats fans.
True. It is tea time.
You got a lot of UK Pats fans.
Tea time in the States. That's right. All right, Jesse from Maui. Do you think that when we say, or when you say we have good karma, That it contributes to the fact that we say little when we win and say less when we lose? Absolutely. It's the way it's supposed to be. As for my nitpick, I don't have just one, or I don't have one just because of the fact that I'm very happy we made it as far as we have, and I'm happy to be a Pats fan. Jesse has got his head screwed on straight. And he says, oh, sorry, I forgot to bring up, did you notice that Tom Brady on the sidelines looked very subdued? He was not yelling or even trying to talk to the team like he has in the past. He's been a very passionate player, so just wondering what happened. Maybe it was the fact that Green Bay controlled most of the time. I guess you could say that'd be my nitpick. I guess you could be right. And he says, okay, my age, Jesse from Maui, 39 years old. There you go, Kev. All right, see, right there, we got one age right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just what we thought, a little bit older.
Exactly what we thought. Gina Daytona, I do not mind the Patriots running under the radar. Fans should be thankful we're being overlooked by the national media. Being number one of the power rankings makes us a target for everyone. Do we want a championship or do we want to hear how wonderful we are? Bill handles expectations better than any coach I've ever seen. That truly is his greatest gift. He makes everyone accountable. There are no free rides. What we should all be proud of is when one of his teams takes the field, they will not embarrass us. John, or he signs it Lex Luthor. Looking ahead to the draft, what positions do you want the Pats to pick? And any standout guys you would love to see sporting the Flying Elvis? It's really hard for me to say because I think the draft is still so much up in the air because of the impending CBA.
You mean you're not going to break down the Southern Miss special teams unit
tonight?
No.
I'm looking forward
to that game.
The Beefo Brady Bowl?
Yeah. I guess I'll still say.
I love the Beefo Brady
I guess I'll still say I'd love to see Mark Ingram or John Clay. The Alabama or Wisconsin running backs.
I wouldn't mind that.
I love what Danny Woodhead has done this year. I love what Ben Jarvis Green Ellis has done. I just think that we need a guy that can be, you know, thought of as a go-to every day.
John Abbott, you heard they need a pass rusher because they suck now.
Yeah,
don't you understand that?
I agree with the running back there, John. But it's just that pick is getting worse and worse by every Oakland win these days. So they're not doing us any favors.
Dale says, is it worth it to get too emotionally invested in this team for a championship? Probably not, but we will anyway.
What kind of a question is that?
Yeah, of course it's worth it. Of course it's worth it. And then Scott in Suffolk, Virginia. Rook, do you remember the Joe Capp trade or the Green Monster at Pat's games? Talk about lean days. Oh, no question. No question. Remember a lot of those days back in the 1960s, 70s.
Can't say I remember those ones.
Mike Tolliver at quarterback. Remember that one, Pete?
I was born in 1967, sir. So
you don't remember that one? Okay,
no.
Sorry.
My Patriots knowledge starts about 1974, about 7 years old. The Jim Plunkett era.
I remember Gino Cappelletti, for God's sake. And Babe Parilli. Oh, now we're getting old days.
You were at Harvard.
Yeah, right. In my dreams. In my dreams. All right, wraps it up for this edition of Patriots Playbook. Same Pats time, same Pats channel tomorrow. Pete Shepard Show's coming up next.
Bruce.
This is like 07.
Oh,
I mean, we all know the original one of these days.